are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Hey, y'all, guys and girls, pick a topic and you know we're gonna drop it on.
Hey, y'all, pick a topic because you know we're going to drop it on Max and Friends. This is Max and Friends. Hey, Dina, can you hit me up with the Max and Friends theme song? Let me know when you get it up. But we got a fun night tonight here on Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio because we have Bravo Girls are like in the house tonight. Whoever did this booking, go Nelson, do your thing for booking tonight's show because we got Bree Bythewood coming on from Blood, Sweat, and Heels. She's going to drop us some really, really good tea. She's going to spill the tea tonight on Max and Friends. Plus, we have Kara Radswell joining us, and she's going to talk about her book and about her life and, of course, being on Real Housewives of New York. Then OWN, Oprah Winfrey Network. We have some fun people in the house tonight from OWN. Love Thy Neighbor star Sandra Curry is going to be joining us. So sit back, relax, because tonight you're listening to Hit It.
Max and Friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back, got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring, he's not scared of any topic from sex style to gossip, listen and to hear what Max is to share, LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends, and now we're ready for the hot topic. Hit it.
Hey, y'all, guys and girls, pick a topic and you know we're gonna drop it on.
We're just dropping everything tonight on Max and Friends. We got Sharon Agati singing that and Monroe King singing the intro to Max and Friends. You all know Monroe King. Her father basically discovered Oprah. Speaking of discovering, I discovered an amazing friendship in the next woman that I'm having on my show, Blood, Sweat, and Heels star, Bree Bythewood. How you doing, Bree?
How you doing?
Wait, Bree, we can't be on Max and Friends and be like, oh, Wendy Williams up in here. But it's so contagious, isn't it, the how you doing?
I know. I'm going to start. How you doing?
No, hey, y'all. This is Max and Friends, not Wendy Williams. But we're having fun tonight. We've got, like, I'm glad that you're on the top of the show because you're, like, the hot topic. I've been getting tweets left and right because, you know, we did our little episode together on Bravo. You did your whole show. I just did an episode. But of Blood, Sweat, and Heels when we did that Patti LaBelle concert for Montefiore Children's Hospital. And, like, all of a sudden, because, like, Bree's friend, Max came up, Bree's friend, I get, like, personal tweets about you.
Oh, my. Okay, spill the beans.
Spill the tea. No, I want to know what you know. Spill the tea, baby.
I don't really know. I don't know. What are people asking? I get personal tweets, too, but most of them I am very responsive. I respond to most people who tweet me.
You do.
As long as it's nice stuff. As long as it's nice stuff, which most of them are.
Well, you know what? What was good about that whole episode is that, you know, they portrayed me really cool and quick. So I didn't get like the backlash that you get because obviously you're a portrayed figure in their minds. But speaking of their minds, what tea do you have to spill about Blood, Sweat, and Heels, Bree Bythewood?
You know what? Honestly, I have to say, you know, a lot of people ask me questions and ask me if there's anything I regret about the show or if there's anything that I think was negatively portrayed about me, especially because I've been named the quote-unquote mean girl, which is, as you know, very humorous and hysterical to hear because I'm anything but a mean girl. So for people who think that they know me after watching, you know, a few episodes of Bree on TV, if you only know me from the show, you don't know the full version of Bree, so you shouldn't be quick to judge negatively because only things that you've seen are positive, you know, portrayals, and that's very much who I am. The scene that you and I did together was all philanthropic based. That's a huge part of my, you know, who I am and, you know, what I stand for. So if somebody calls me a mean girl, how dare you look at somebody who has been so willing and open and honest and, you know, philanthropic and caring and call that person a mean girl? Because I would hate to see who they think the nice people are if I'm what they call the quote unquote mean girl.
But you know what? First of all, you can't get all twisted about it because you know what? It's just a perception. But let me ask you, is it official and is it legit that Blood, Sweat, and Heels is going to have a season two?
Blood, Sweat, and Heels is absolutely having a second season. I do not know who the cast will be. We've not gotten any word on that so far, but the show itself will 100% be back.
Now, are you definitely a part of it?
I don't know who anyone is that's a part of it so far. I have not been asked, nor have any of the other ladies. So that part of the show is a mystery to me.
Well, you know, Andy Cohen, because we saw, you know, when he flipped the seat with NeNe and she asked him, do you hire and fire the housewives? And he said, absolutely, he has a say in it. So out of your whole cast, who would he fire?
Well, I would hope.
Or who would you, I'm gonna go ahead and like say, to see fired?
I'm going to say, I hope it's not me. Honestly, here's the thing. You know, the show itself, when I sit back and I really think about it, the show would not be the show without all six of us. There is not a single person on that show that did not, attribute to the success of the show. On a day-to-day normal basis, who are the girls that I would hang out with? Who are the girls I would call my friends? Absolutely Demetria. Absolutely Geneva. Hands down, bar none, at the end of that sentence, period. Maybe an exclamation mark. Who are the girls that I could maybe see myself being friendly with somewhere down the line? Melissa would be next on my list. And then question mark Michael, question mark Daisy. But I would say at Melissa, it would kind of, it starts to fade a lot from there.
Well, fade. You know, it's like the show was the highest rated show on Bravo, right?
In their history.
In their history of premieres.
Mm-hmm.
So how does it feel to like all of a sudden not be part of a reality series and then the next thing you know, you're turning things on and you're like on TV Guide and Jet Magazine and Ebony Magazine here and there. Like, what? Like, what? How did your life change?
It's funny. It's so funny because, you go from being someone who is just your average everyday person living in a big city like New York, where most people don't really pay attention. You just walk by a person. I can't tell you the last 12 people I saw, 3 hours ago. I don't know. I don't recall them. But all of a sudden now people see me, they know my name and they call out to me. And when somebody normally says like, Brie, hey, Brie, they must know me. So I turn to them, I give them like hugs. I think they're like, oh man, I must have met this person. I can't remember your name for the life of me or how you know me or how I know you, but I'm going to talk to you until I figure it out. And I sit there and we'll have long conversations with people until the moment they drop the, well, anyway, I love you on the show. And then that's when I realized like, oh my gosh, I have no idea. I don't know you. Yeah. So, life has changed in a lot of ways because it's like the realization that when people call your name, it's not because they know you. It's also opened me up to a lot of criticism from people, again, that don't know me, but, a lot of praise from people who also don't know me, but appreciate everything about me that they've come to learn. And everything that people see on TV is very much who I am. So the people that praise me, I appreciate that because they're learning bits of me. The people who have negative things to say about me, they have no grounds. But then also like seeing myself like, in a magazine or, having interviews and just the way my life has become so much more active, in the media sense has been a wonderful whirlwind of just excitement and absolute exuberance. I've been so happy and so blessed and so thrilled to get to know people and to continue to open myself up more so people can get to know me. More than, just what they see on TV. Yes. So it's nice. It's really nice.
Cool. Now, here's the deal. You and I are going to be doing, we're co-chairing another event at the Lehman Center in June. I think June 7th.
Hello.
Yes. And this year we have Michael Bolton, so it's going to be fun. I think we're to have a caller, but I don't know. Like, do you want to take a caller? Let's pretend like you're co-hosting with me. Should we take a call, Brie?
I say yes. Let's take a call.
All right. Let's take the call. We'll take the call as I'm like pulling my hair. We'll take the call. Hey, caller, you're listening to Max and Friends. Who's this and where are you calling from? Oh, see? No balls, Brie. No balls.
What is going on?
Listen, you know what? Call and hang up. If that's all you got, that's all you got. You know, it's fun. Like radio, it's what it is, Brie Bythewood. But no, speaking about like co-hosting, we should do like hot topics together.
Let's do it. I'm down for that. Seriously.
Ooh, I just had chocolate chip cookies made for me and brought into the studio. How you doing? It's a good night from Max and Friends. But I think Hot Topics, you know what? You could be a part of Hot Topics. It's like, you know, we could do a 10-minute segment, and then I'll let you go, and then I'll have, like, my guests on, or we could co-host it. Whatever you want to do, we'll figure it out.
I love it. Let's definitely do that. I would love to do that. I have so much fun co-hosting with you for charity stuff, so this would be, like, a blast. This would be so much fun.
Have fun. All right. We're going to work it out. And then, you know, I'm doing a TV show down here now, too, with I in South Florida. So you're going to have to come down here, and you're like, I'm going to need you, like, 3 times a week to do Hot Topics.
For real?
Why not? I have to put together – everyone, Bree and I are like friends, so the reason why we're like having this conversation on here, like we're just like catching up. but here's the thing. Yeah, like so I'm doing this TV show down here, and they were like, can you put together like 4 friends that you would want to do Hot Topics with? So I'm like, okay, but I'll keep you posted on that.
Okay, so, yeah, keep me posted. I love it.
Now listen, if you're going to be a cast member this season, because I think you will be, because they need you, let's just keep it real. Because, I mean, the other girls love them, but they're like bloggers. You bring, like, the class, you bring the money, you bring the lifestyle that they want, the real version of it.
Yeah.
The rest
I
is just
that,
the things. It's reasonable.
I love that. You're so cute. No, I love that. But, no, honestly, I think all 6 of us really are needed. Like, we need, like, the drama,
listen,
we need the crazy.
Is, what are you going to give? Like, what are you going to give this season? Because people thought you were very, like, timid. What are you going to throw down this season?
You know what? This season, I would actually like to show exactly what people have seen. I don't want to take away from that because that is very much who I am. But I'd also like to bring some fun to it. I'd like to do, you know, a lot more philanthropic stuff. But I'd also like to do, you know, the behind the philanthropy stuff, behind the, you know, work stuff. Show Bree who Bree really is. What does Bree do for fun? Where does she go? How does she hang out? What kind of fun does she have? I want people to at least have one episode where they get to see me and can relate to
you.
Me. Yeah, and I want people to like to be able to relate to me. But you know,
an episode for you. I got it. We're going to...
Yeah.
Hey, Andy Cohen, she wants an episode for her. Bree Bythewood, I got to let you run because we got to go on and I've got Kara Raswell coming on in just a bit. From Real Housewives of New York. Bravo's in the house tonight.
Bravo represent.
I know. I love you for being on, Bree. And I'm going to talk to you after the show.
Okay, love you. Call me tomorrow. I'm going to bed.
Bree, we're not only going to give you your own episode tonight, but we're going to give you this song. This one's for you by Chester C. Stand by because we're going to be right back.
Bye.
Bye, Bree. This one's for you. We'll be back with Carol.
There's no time, takes too long, it's not my fight. It's easier to turn away. It's too hard, it's not my fault. Don't understand or care to find out. It's easier to turn away. But time. Just what this world is going through. this song's for everyone that knows just what this world is going through.
Award-winning producer, journalist, TV personality, author of What Remains and The Widow's Guide to Sex and Dating, and star of Real Housewives of New York, Kara Radzwell's with us. Welcome to Max and Friends.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm like so glad you're here, and I'm so glad I didn't fuck up your name by saying Karen.
Oh, yeah. I answer to anything, so don't worry.
All right. That's what I say. Call me he, call me she, as long as you call me.
I didn't know you could curse on the radio. I love it.
Oh, yeah. We can say what we want. This is LA talk radio. But you know what? I'll probably get fined somewhere, but it's worth it because I have you here with me. Before we start, we have a tweet, and I got to get this off my chest because they're like, please, like, retweeting. They want to know, Derek wants to know how you keep such an amazing body, especially your ass.
Honestly, I have no idea. I take no credit for it. It's just like God gave me a great ass, but you know, he gave me a bunch of other shit. So everyone has something. I just got a good ass. I don't know.
Right. There you go. Own it. Just own it. All right, Derek. We hope that fulfilled your pondering down in Costa Rica. How cool is that, Costa Rica?
All right.
Now, I just love the fact that, like, you know, we see you on TV and it's like you've been coined the housewife. But in reality, you have like such a lineage of such greatness to your name, especially being a journalist. Yeah. And like you like went to war reporting.
I was very young at ABC and I covered the Gulf War. I was in Tel Aviv. And what was that? 91. Then I went back to Kandahar during the Afghan War. As a journalist, all of us, we would line up to cover, to be assigned to whatever war-torn country was, you know, next up. So it was an honor to go and do that kind of reporting.
Did you ever fear for your life? Like you thought, shit, I'm going to die?
No, it's a weird thing with journalists. They don't fear the things that normal people fear. You know, when I was in Tel Aviv and the night siren would go off indicating that there were incoming Scud missiles, all the journalists would run to the roof of the hotel and everyone else would take their gas masks and hazmat gear and hope to escape them. Yeah, it's just like, you know, I have fear of other
pretty
things.
Intense.
Like, you know. Yeah. I feel like a lot of, you know, parties on the Upper East Side in Manhattan, I think, are more treacherous.
They are.
Any given housewife scene is a little more treacherous than
that. We have, like, another tweet, so let's just get it out of the way. Because, you know, people feel like if we don't, like, get their tweets, that they, like, they end up, like, taking it personally. So, speaking of housewives, we have a tweet from Jennifer, and she wants to know, is there a rivalry between the housewives whom work and don't?
Oh, that's an interesting, there really isn't.
You mean work outs, like I'd have a like separate art. Career in publishing, like, yeah. And Heather right. has a separate like career in fashion.
Like you have a career in publishing, journalism, fabulosity. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Heather and I are in the difference, I think, between us and some of the other women. We're kind of in the middle of pretty big careers outside of the show, so we bring that to the show. We don't feel like there's any kind of competition at all, So I don't know what the other women feel. I think you'll see this season. It kind of looks that way, but it certainly is not my intention, and it's certainly not Heather's intention to be to compete with the other women. You know, we all respect what everyone does. So that's the housewife answer.
Do your thing. Now, on a more curiosity base, before you get into your new book, The Widow's Guide to Sex and Dating, you know,
yes.
I want to know: have you ever been to Grey Gardens? Did you like grow up there?
not when it was Grey Gardens in the sense that we saw it in the documentary and when Big Edie and Little Edie lived there. But I've been to Grey Gardens. It's now owned by a couple, and they've restored it. It's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
And they kept some of the original stuff, so it's interesting to go up into the attic and see some of the original wallpapers and were, but it's a beautiful home now.
Yeah, I feel like they should have a taxidermied raccoon just in honor of.
Maybe they do. I don't remember, but maybe they do.
But like, did you chill with Little Edie at all growing up?
No. She's like the generation above. Maybe my mother-in-law Lee, of course, did and knew them, and she was actually the one that prompted the Maisels to start filming for that documentary.
Like she was like the original housewife.
Yes. Lee and Jackie were the original housewives.
Right, they were.
And then Big Edie kind of and Little Edie.
They were the real housewives of the Hamptons.
Yeah, that was like the original reality show.
And Cohen and Bravo, they beat you to it. All joking aside. So let's get back to The Widow's Guide to Sex and Dating. I mean, my mom has a copy of it. She's been a widow for like 28 years. So she's love it. Yeah, she's been by choice. But she loves the book also by choice. And so tell us a little about this Widow's Guide. What is it about?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a guide in any sense of the word. It's really a novel. I just kind of fell in love with the title. It's a satire. It's really a comedy. I call it the comedic sequel to The Tragedy. That was my first book. But when I started writing The Widow's Guide, my heroine, Claire, loses her husband of 10 years in a very kind of funny way. I know that sounds crazy, but he gets hit on the head with a Giacometti statue, a big bronze statue that falls out of the penthouse window, and he just happens to be walking along in the street below. And the Giacometti statue turns out to be a forgery. So it's really how she then goes on, and sort of she's young like me. She's also a writer, but the book isn't, like I said, a guide. I wrote it 10 years after my own husband died, and I was in a different kind of state of mind at being newly widowed, and I had found some of the humor in life, and I give that to Claire very early. So I don't dwell on the five stages.
Claire is you? Would you say Claire
I would
is
say
you?
Claire, I would say, you know, Claire, there's parts of Claire that are me, but there are parts of Charlie, the husband, that we get to know in flashbacks and over the course of the novel that are part me, too. He's kind of like, he's a little bit like sort of sexually curious about a lot of things and kind of like slightly perverted, I think, and that kind of appealed to some side of me. And I think like every writer would say there are parts of each of the characters that they create and write about. So,
now, yes, Claire's story is really about a woman starting over. So what advice do you give to women starting over?
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think anyone, whether it's going through divorce or a breakup or just starting over in life for very, you know, whether it's a job, would identify with Claire. What advice do I give people starting over? I mean, I really think that you have to believe in your heart that you're doing exactly what you should be doing at any given point in your life. Like the universe is telling you, like you know, right now doing this show, it's like sometimes it seems counterintuitive. I think, okay, this is what I should be doing in my life right now. So I try to keep that in mind a lot. And I always think, someone said to me right after, not right after, but maybe like a year after my husband died, that all new beginnings are disguised as endings. And I really think about that a lot. Like every beginning starts out as an ending. So when you're starting over, you have the opportunity to reinvent yourself. And reinvention is a very American quality. We all kind of love that. And you know, I would just say allow it to happen, you know, and allow your life to take you where it's going to take you. And I've certainly done that and kind of reinvented myself a few times over the past 20 or 30 years. And sometimes I don't understand it, but I feel like I'm in the middle of my life right now, so it's not my job to understand it. It's just my job to live it. And, you know, when I'm 80, looking back, I'll see how it all made sense. That's kind of how I look at life.
And it makes sense.
You gotta play the long game.
You do. And I always say where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be. So it doesn't even, like, that's all there is really, the simplicity to it. So just bask in the moment, girls who are starting over. And guys.
Yeah.
Girls can be nasty. Yes. So.
No, so if you stay in the moment and you believe that it's just like, and you just have to embrace the unknown, you know, it could be scary, but it also could be exhilarating.
Absolutely. Now, if this book, which is a fabulous book, we're talking about The Widow's Guide to Sex and Dating, were to become a movie, who would play Claire?
Gosh, I don't know. You know, Universal Television just optioned it to develop it into a
TV
show.
I felt something there. I felt like the synergy.
Oh yeah, but gosh, I don't know kind of young actresses. She'd have to be in her early 30s, I guess. I don't know, and she's quirky, and she's not conventionally beautiful. She's you know, but she's attractive. Someone said to me the other day, someone like Zooey Deschanel would be, and she also has to have a very good sense of humor. But I like the older, you know, I like the older women. You know, I like, you know, Kristen Wiig, but they probably couldn't play 32 anymore, unfortunately.
Well, the truth is the truth. But, you know, I just had Jackie Collins on, and she was, like, looking for a new character. She goes, I'm buying billboards, and I'm going to discover the new character, the new Lucky. I think you should just get a billboard and, like, do a natural, like, a nationwide search for the new Claire. Discover her.
An unknown. That would be amazing. I mean,
right?
I don't, you know. There are other people in Hollywood that are much smarter at that sort of thing than I am, but I would just hope she'd be interesting and a good actress and quirky and have a good sense of humor.
Absolutely. Well, listen, let's talk about these books because this is your second one. Was there like a difference in writing from your memoir, What Remains, to this?
Well, I thought going into this, fiction would be easier to write because you could just make it up. But then I learned pretty early on that it's harder to make things up than it was for me, at least, to write nonfiction. I mean, I came from a journalism background, so I was much more conditioned to nonfiction writing. And in fiction, the only thing that limits you is your imagination, and I found that to be, you know, quite daunting. And I always just thought I could come up with something more interesting. And also I felt like, and that's why it takes a long time. I mean, this book I probably worked on for almost 4 years, all, you know, including publishing and stuff. But the burden of truth is greater in fiction, I found, because when I was writing my memoir, I was me. So, and people reading it thought, okay, well, this really happened to me. So they were going to take that leap of faith. But in fiction, you really have to, the level of detail has to be so much greater. So I did extensive background on each of the characters. I never really made it into the book, like where they went to high school and college and all, and, you know, who their friends were as children and their parents and what their parents did for a living and, you know, any part-time jobs they had. None of that really gets into the book, but you have to have all that detail in your head to really create a believable character in fiction. So
were these characters based on people you know?
Some of them were straight out of my life. In the very beginning, first chapter, Claire is in Texas at the University University of Texas at Austin interviewing Dr. Singh, who spent his entire life studying that waist-to-hip ratio. He was an evolutionary biologist. And that was exactly taken from my real life. I did a story once for 2020 in the early 90s called The Evolution, The Biology of Love. And I went down to Texas and I interviewed this guy, and he was really quirky and funny, and he had spent 50 years studying Playboy bunnies, and I just thought, got such a kick out of that. So he's coming kind of right out of my life. And there are other people that are, there's a tour guide, his name is Derek, and he's one of the characters, a minor character, but he's based on a tour guide that I actually knew here in New York. So some of them are, but most of them are like any character in a novel. They're both real and imagined. They're parts of my imagination. They're parts of real people I know. Friends, and although not so many friends, all my friends think they're part of every character, but they're really not.
Now, of all these chapters in the book, which is the one that most resonates with you?
Which one? Well, I mean, at different points in her development through the year after her husband dies, there are different parts that I identify with. But you know what? I really, the beginning part where she's going to the funeral home and she picks out the casket and she has this weird kind of sexual fantasy about the undertaker, if we can still call them undertakers. I don't know. I loved that because I love showing the absurdity of like what someone has to go through when your husband just dies and then you have to go and pick out this casket and there's so many to choose from and there are different price points. And I hope I captured like the absurdity of doing that and the kind of the humor of it. I love Claire in standing in Wanamaker in son's funeral home, picking out caskets and deciding because she's going to cremate her husband that she should maybe just rent a casket because why bother buying one when she's just going to burn it? Like all these things you don't think about. And
opening scene, Campbell's, Madison Avenue.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, totally. Who's the Undertaker?
Similar,
we need to have sex with this Undertaker.
Well, some young random guy, and she, you know, it's sort of odd when you're going through it. You know, you're obviously in shock and grieving, and so when I was writing about it 10 years later, I could write in a much more funny way and sort of see the humor in it.
Now, do you speak to other young widows and give them any dating advice or experience or what's going on in life after your husband's death?
I mean, I really don't, because like I said, I'm definitely not a role model for widows. I did everything that you could do that was wrong. You know, I quit my job. I was at ABC almost 15 years. I quit my job. I sold our apartment where we lived and moved into a sublet, kind of isolated myself.
My mom did that too. Yes, my mom did that. She got rid of the apartment in New York and the boat. Like she was like purging herself.
Yeah, and then I got rid of a lot of my husband's things. I just kept giving things away, and I probably did all this. And you know, drank too much, went out too much. I say I'm more like the Jack Daniels widow than the Jackie O. I'm definitely not a role model for widows, but I did. And then there's this obsession with like starting over and having sex with someone again, and that's awkward.
Let's talk about it. How was sex, if we want, how was sex for the first time after? Was it, like, totally bizarre? And what do you tell
me? I think I say in the book, it's like losing your virginity all over again. Widows are the new virgins. You know, it's a little bit of a notch in a man's belt to get a widow. But it is like losing your virginity again. But you're older and much more self-aware, and it's awkward. An older widow friend of mine, when she was younger, she was widowed, and she, I remember her saying, "Carol, just do it quickly and out of town," meaning just like get it over with.
I didn't do it out of town,
but I did it with an out-of-towner, and It was exactly as
it should have been.
We
need to start a widow's grinder.
I just went on Tinder for the first time. Tinder is like the grinder for straight people.
Yeah, listen, it's like whatever. I mean, you know, I just got a place in Boulder, Colorado. It's like the coolest place because everyone's like, yeah, just love one another and like let's have another juice and a smoke. Like, you know, they're very cool and that's like just love everyone, whatever. You know, like where's the best place you think to find a man?
Well, I always tell my friends when you're looking for a man, you have to go where men go, and that's steakhouses and strip clubs.
And, you know, I'm going to tell, like, I'm obsessed because I had Jackie Collins on. So for me, it was like a big deal. But she said to tell women they have to go to the supermarket at 11 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Oh, that too. Also, I find I have a place in L.A.
Where?
That doesn't really work so much in New York. But in L.A., there's like the Whole Foods and Bristol Farms. And I find when I go to those supermarkets actually late at night, you see a lot of single men. Mm-hmm. I actually went out had dinner with a guy who picked me up in the cheese department at Bristol Farms.
Well, hopefully he didn't smell like cheese, if you know
what I mean. No, he didn't. He did. But I'll tell you, steakhouses are big. And also, you know, gyms from 6 to 8 right after work, a gym, but after a certain kind of gym.
And a gym not in Chelsea.
not near Chelsea, no. But that's where men are who aren't married, you know, or who are in unhappy relationships. You know, they go to the gym after work. They don't go home to their girlfriends right away. So that's also a good place.
Author to The Widow's Guide and reality star of Real Housewives of New York, Kara Razzle, is with us. We're talking about her book, Life, Sex, and how it is to have sex after the first time being a widow. The new widow's grinder. But anyway, no, you know what? It's fun. That's all we got to do is have fun. But how can people find you? They already know where to find you on Twitter. So what's your – drop your Twitter name.
That's so cute. It's my name, Kara Razzle, at Kara Razzle. And Twitter, and Instagram too.
Instagram-o. You're on Instagram-o. Real quick, what is like the most exotic collection you think you have?
Collection of?
Anything. Exotic, crazy, cool. Something that people wouldn't expect you to collect.
Oh, you know, I collect Marana crystal ashtrays, which is unusual because I don't smoke cigarettes. But I love them, and I started collecting them a few years ago, and I probably have about 15 now. And I also, from childhood, collect, and I will admit this, and I have a big collection of Swarovski crystal animal figurines, just the animals.
Oh, how cute.
And I started when I was probably 16, I saved up all my money, I bought the bear. And I still have that bear, and I love that bear, and I probably have 20 or 30 more little animal figurines. So if you want to buy me something.
There you go. Now, are you married? Are you married? Are you getting married?
No.
Why do I feel like you're married?
No. I don't know, because I'm a housewife.
I'm getting like really weird, like, are you dating a married man? I'm like, seeing
no,
this.
Like, hell no.
Be careful, because there will be a man disguised. I'm getting like a psychic vibe right now. Who's going to be like, not tell you that he's married, and he's married. Watch out.
Really? Oh my God. Yes. Well, thank you for warning me.
We got to talk after the show.
Really? No, I'm not married.
Are you dating?
I'm dating, but not anyone. I'm not in a serious relationship. I'm just having fun being single and dating again. I was in a relationship for a while, and now I'm single again. And I enjoy being single. I like it. I mean, I like being on my own, and I like meeting a lot of different men.
You know what?
I mean, some of them are jerks. You know, even the jerks are funny.
It's fun. My horse trainer in Connecticut goes, F them all and marry none. Fuck them all and marry none. Have fun. But on that note, before I let you go, what do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, my God, my legacy? I don't, yeah, gosh, I probably won't have kids. I just, the books, the things that I write, you know, I'm writing my third book now. I hope that's going to be a collection of essays.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have you back on the show when the book is out?
Yes, I would love that. I would love that.
And next time we'll get together, I think I have someone I want to introduce you to.
What? Okay. Do you have my number?
I'll get after. I'll arrange to get it.
Okay. You're right, adorable. Okay.
But we'll figure this out. All right, Donna, I'll let you run, but it's been a blast having you on the show. And I'm going to talk next time. We're going to have you back when your other book is out. But everyone, you've got a new episode coming out of Real Housewives of New York this week. So tune in, everyone, to Bravo. Kyle Radziwill was here joining us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night. All right, everyone, we got to play a quick song, Dreams Come True. And when we're back with Max and Friends, Sandra Curry from OWN. I love it. From OWN. Love Thy Neighbor.
Much is falling into place. My success is all right here. I'm on this road of passion. I don't want my journey to end. Dreams come true. I can't believe my dreams came true. My life is nonstop excitement. Enjoying the ride. I'm trying. Are my moments tag along? Whatever I need to do.
We faded that abruptly. You're listening to Max and Friends, everyone. That was Thomas Hibner's song, Dream Come True. And Thomas, we discovered through Miley Cyrus here on Max and Friends. And he's really, his dreams, I always told him to dream bigger. So I'm glad he is. And his song career is just taking off. So there you go, Thomas Hibner. Always think of you on Max and Friends. We've got Hangover Mama in the house, everybody. Sandra Curry's here joining us on Max and Friends. Also, OWN. I know all you OWN ambassadors out there and OWN viewers, Oprah Winfrey Network, Love Thy Neighbor. Y'all are tuning in tonight. So welcome, Sandra Curry, to Max and Friends.
Hello, Max. How are you?
I'm so glad that you're here. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. You're in New York, yes?
I am in Florida. Yes, I'm in Florida right now.
Okay.
I get around.
You did. I checked up on you.
Yes. Now, you have such a great lineage behind you because you've been in, 110 television shows?
Something like that. Ever so slightly chronologically progressed.
From Knight Rider to Golden Girls to NCIS to The Secret Life of American Teenager. And you're like, everyone loves you as Zach Galifianakis' mother in The Hangover.
Yes, Zach is my boy.
One, two, what? And three. I said 1, 2, and 3, The Hangover.
1, 2, and 3, that's right. The trilogy.
The trilogy. Speaking of Love Thy Neighbor, the trilogy, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, let's talk about Love Thy Neighbor. How was it to be part of the whole Oprah Winfrey Network experience?
Well, that was tremendous. You know, I mean, she's such a trailblazer, needless to say. And I love that they marched to the beat of their own drums, all of them, actually, Tyler particularly. And so he has a good relationship there with Oprah. And it was a wonderful show to do. We had got to have more viewers and tell them to hang on to Miss Vivian. They've kind of thrown her off a cliff, but we have to save Miss Vivian.
Of course, you know what? Everybody, if you're tuning in tonight, you can tweet Sandra at Sandra Curry and hashtag save Miss Vivian at OWN.
That would be fabulous. Wouldn't that be a kick? And you guys would all be responsible, and I would be ever so grateful.
Yes, we're going to start that right after I get a minute to tweet and talk at the same time. But let's just talk about you. You have this wonderful sci-fi pilot that you did.
Oh, I do. Yes, we just wrapped it called Ganymede Pan. And fingers crossed, I got to play the nemesis on this one. So it was originally written for a man, General Ty, and that's my character's name. And, you know, it's really a fun, innovative way to make shows now. There's so many opportunities to do that. So, you know, my husband, I must say, directed this one, Alan J. Levy, and that was very exciting. And the effects look great. So it's a different way to go. Ganymede Pan, he's a very... he's a superhero that one would not expect. He's a reluctant superhero. Mm-hmm. So and we're at war in the universe, so that's kind of fun. Wow. Ganymede, by the way, is the name of a Greek character in mythology who was abducted by Zeus. So it's he's got a big mantle to carry.
Right, he sure does. That's a heavy story, but it's
it
a good
is,
one.
It is. And Pan, of course, is a reference to, a more playful deity in Greek lore. You know, Pan, the god of...
Absolutely.
So he's a smart, sassy guy.
And you mix all that together with some sci-fi, and you've got yourself a movie.
We do. And we had kind of almost a blob. I keep saying blob. It reminded me of the blob or Invasion of the Body Snatchers, because there's a substance that can only be manipulated by a child. And it's so you kind of go, wow, that was very creative of them. I mean,
exactly.
In a whole new way. Yeah, so that was fun.
Well, you know, speaking of you starring on Love Thy Neighbor on OWN as Ms. Vivian, you surely do love your neighbor with ShareForChildren.org. So tell us more about ShareForChildren.org.
Oh, Max, thank you for asking about that. This is really the primary charity that I've been involved in for 20 years now. And it's it started out women in entertainment, and now it's branched out to... all women in all forms of with the workforce, and it really helps children who are abused, abandoned, children with mental or emotional disabilities, and we literally do everything ourselves. We have one show every year, which is coming up.
Yes, you have your gala.
Yes, the gala. It's the Boomtown, our annual Boomtown show, and this year it's on May 3rd, and it's at the Skirball Center, and Ben Vereen is the headliner, but the Share Ladies are the ones that always entertain. Honestly, if you want to look it up, it's shareforchildren.org.
That's the number four, everyone. Share the number four, children.org, not F-O-R. The number four.
Thank you. Yes, and you know, we really support, literally every single one of us does all the work. We don't have a staff. Every one of us does something. And the facilities that we support are like Ahead with Horses and the Center for the Partially Sighted, the Friends of CASA, Salvin. Really, it's just an extraordinary sense of accomplishment and joy that we can be doing something for these children. It really is just, it's almost a kind of an addiction, I must say, because
you know
really
what? It is. Doesn't charity become an addiction?
It does, and I notice that you do the same.
I do, and it's just like a good addiction, because when it's that moment out of, walk through me with this, it's that moment when you know you've changed someone's life.
Absolutely.
No matter all that hard work that we put into it, just feels like effortless because we see the difference in one's life. It gets my adrenaline. It's my Energizer Bunny.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes you just think, I can't get up. I can't do this. I can't hit someone up for money anymore. And then you kind of see their faces. And you know what? It really is so inspiring and invigorating. Tell me something. What is the Unicorn Children's Foundation?
Unicorn Children's Foundation is a fabulous foundation in Boca Raton, Florida, and it's really to give children with neurodiversities a chance in life. So it helps diagnose them. It also helps with their parents to find the right training that they need at home. You know, it's really like a 411 for children with neurodiversities, from ADD to Asperger's to autism.
Well, we have something like that out here as far as Team Primetime and a couple of others like that that are trying to bring these kids in and give them more education in that way.
I also work with SOS Children's, SOS is in Florida, which is amazing, SOSFlorida.org. We have an orphanage in Coconut Creek with 74 children in 12 homes.
Really?
Yes.
And it's right all SOS.
Yep, well, there's SOS International, too, so Google them, SOS, and Children's Villages. and they're all over the world and only like three in America. I'm getting the sign we got to wrap, but I feel like I could talk to you forever and I still got to get some things out from you because you and I share a passion, which is photography.
Oh, we do. I love that. Oh, do you do that too?
Yes, and world travel. When is your birthday?
January 11th. When's yours?
February 14th. So you're the Capricorn. I'm the Aquarius.
Valentine's
Day. You lead the way. Yeah, you lead the way. But listen, Sandra, can we have you back on the show? Because I'm
getting
the
of course. I would love to
talk so much more with you. But we had a big show tonight with so many of you great ladies. Ladies,
well, that's exciting.
It is exciting.
And listen, Max, if you by any chance are anywhere close to us on May 3rd and you want to come to our Boomtown show, I'll arrange it. You should see hands-on what we do. Honestly, I'm not kidding. You just give me a call.
May 3rd.
And it's a fabulous night.
And again, shareforchildren.org. We're speaking to Owns Love Thy Neighbor, the Hangover Trilogy's mama, Sandra Curry. Go tweet her at Sandra Curry, hashtag save Miss Vivian. I want to see you on, I'm going to see you on season two.
Thank you. Thank you. And also they can tweet. We need to inspire them to get a new Hangover 4 up and running.
There you go. Inspire the crowd, Sandra Curry. It was a pleasure having you on tonight.
You too, Max. Thanks so much. Have a great
night.
I'll
talk to you after the show. Okay, good night. All right, everyone. Bye-bye. I'm going to think we got to wrap up. I still got to say happy birthday to Farah, to Lena, to Keith, Ma Jaya, Jai Ma, everyone at Kashi Ashram. I love you. Take life to the max this week. And I know, please, let's just play this out. This is Ma Jaya. Today's the day that she passed. And I just love her and know that she's watching over Jai Ma. Teach all ways because all ways are his. Kashi Ashram, love you guys. Hit it. Good night, everyone. Take life to the max.
As the conch sounds, so do the words. Teach all ways, for all ways are his. A quote from our beloved Ma Jaya. The lessons and teaching of Ma Jaya will echo throughout the earth. Jai, Jai Ma, soar free, beautiful, fearless woman of God, soar. And may we all be still and know where we are at this exact moment, the fullness of God is. And now the fullness of Ma also is. I love you all for listening. Stay tuned to Max and Friends every Sunday night here on LA Talk Radio. CBS News is next.
Max and Friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic from sex style to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max